Jennifer Finney Boylan, the first best-selling transgender author, is here to give us her spin on our LGBT issues and talk about being honored with GLAAD's Spirit of Justice Award. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Fantastic.
What was the inspiration for your best-selling book, She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders?
Well, to tell you the truth, it wasn't really inspiration at all. I was in the midst of transition, and I was sitting on top of a bunch of really good stories, many of which had never been told before. I wrote the book in a summer house in the middle of a cold Maine winter. And what was weird about it is that I wrote it in nearly total isolation, and I had no idea what the future of that writing would be. To be honest, I think that the book's publisher, Random House, was not entirely certain that a semi-comic memoir of a transgender woman would necessarily be a bestseller. I mean, it didn't seem to have bestseller written all over it, you know, but the book did find readers, and amazingly, it has continued to find readers. It's stayed in print these last 13 years, and in fact, we came out with the 10th anniversary edition a couple years back, which is important to mention simply because the new edition has some new material. It has a new epilogue chapter by me, and it also has a chapter written by my wife, Deirdre, whom I call Grace in the book, but whom many people were kind of interested in hearing from. So the inspiration was essentially to tell a transgender person's story. There had been several trans narratives at that point, but none of them had been produced by people who were authors, you know, trained writers. My primary desire, actually, was really not to strike a blow for transgender civil rights. My primary goal was to tell a good story, and using material that had really not been tapped. Of course, now, now you can't, you know, throw a rock without hitting another movie or another television show with a transgender character in it. So that book was published in 2003. I would like to think it helped open the door to the place where we are, where we have arrived now, which is a place where transgender people's stories are seen as stories that reflect not marginality or eccentricity or difference, but stories that simply illustrate one more way of being human.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Well, there's a quote that my mother had that I've used so many times now, I think people will scream if they hear me say it one more time. But she used to say, it's impossible to hate anyone whose story you know. And I think it's one thing to get a lecture on diversity, and it's another thing to be told about, for instance, the neurological basis of some transsexual experience. And that's all very well and good, but until we recognize the humanity in each other's experience, we are not connecting with people on a heart-to-heart basis. And that's the power of story. It's one of the reasons why I'm involved with GLAAD with two A's, because that organization is about telling stories, and that's what I'm about. So Robert Hunter, also known as the lyricist for the Grateful Dead, has a line about looking toward a future time in which things we've never seen will seem familiar. And I guess that's the time I'm trying to roll the culture toward. I'm trying to get us to see transgender people, and really all people who are out of the ordinary, as familiar as people whose experience of life we find comprehensible and worthy of compassion.
You appeared on the E! Reality TV show I Am Kate as the voice of reason. Tell us how that came together.
Is that really what people are calling me, the voice of reason? That phrase has been used frequently to describe my role on that show, and it just makes me laugh. Actually, it makes my friends laugh even more, people who don't necessarily associate me with reason. But it came about originally because I participated in the Diane Sawyer interview as some sort of person who's done a lot of advocacy work in this field. Kate's very new, and though she has a sincere desire to do good in the world, she's very new, and she doesn't particularly know the language. Ironically, she doesn't know the language necessarily to describe her own experience articulately. So that was the role that I played on the Diane Sawyer show, and I think the producers at the E! Network liked what they heard. They asked me to be a consultant on the show. I think really in just in hopes of making sure that nothing was inadvertently said that would send the wrong message. And the conversation turned to putting me in front of the camera and once I was on one show, I was on another and another, and, you know, next thing I knew, I was a regular part of the cast. It was really not planned, but it just worked out that way. Kate Jenner and I hit it off pretty well, I'd have to say. I really like her. She comes from a completely bizarro world that has nothing in common with mine, which is to say, she lives in a kind of Hollywood celebrity bubble, and I'm an academic from northern New England. And yet, I understand that there are many reasons to raise eyebrows about Kate's privilege or her, you know, initial cluelessness about some of the aspects of the LGBT terrain. And yet, for all that, she is embarked upon a mission to do good in the world, and I think that simply the tremendous visibility that show has had is changing the world for the better.
You're being honored by GLAAD with the Spirit of Justice Award. Tell us about the event that's happening in Boston on October 16th.
Well, that event is not only about me. I think the evening is an opportunity to support GLAAD and its mission of creating a more just world for LGBT people, especially in New England. What's ironic, of course, is that I'm the co-chair of the board of GLAAD with two A's, and people are always confusing GLAAD with two A's with GLAAD with one A. People have referred to GLAAD with two A's as Dutch GLAAD, because of the double A, of course. Anyway, part of the evening will also include a moment when they put a tiara on my head, and I promise to use my crown to help all the people of the world. This honor really does mean a whole lot to me. I don't want to sound all huffy and puffy. It really is kind of the thrill of my life. I appreciate all of you throwing the confetti at me.
Well, it's going to be a great night for sure.
Cool. And I know GLAAD with two A's will have some of its staff and board members there, including our chair of the board, Sarah Kate Ellis. Look, GLAAD with one A does vital and important work. And to understand the difference between the two organizations, it may be helpful to just take one case. So about 3 years ago, I think a congressman in the state of Maine got the clever idea that transgender people should be written out of our human rights law that had already passed. And so this lovely young man decided that the world would be better if trans people were specifically exempted from the rights dedicated and guaranteed to all Maine citizens. And there was a season's worth of hearings that featured all kinds of people, not just me, but young Nicole Maines, M-A-I-N-E-S, who has a new book about the Maines family is coming out called Becoming Nicole, which I think is worth plugging. Anyway, that legal fight was led by GLAAD, and GLAAD with two A's doesn't do that kind of work. We are not a legal organization. GLAAD with two A's was able to publicize the victory, but GLAAD with one A is the organization that made the victory happen. And indeed, victory did come in the end, because that motion before the Maine Congress was defeated, and transgender Mainers continue to be regarded under the law as human.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
It's what I've given my life to. After raising my children and being married to my wife, I feel like LGBT rights are achieving the goal of a fairer world, especially for transgender people, is the mission that I have undertaken. Look, things went relatively well for me here in this little state of Maine, in my town of Belgrade Lakes. I didn't lose my family. I didn't lose my job. And I was able, in fact, to publish a book about it and tell that story and tell it the way I wanted it told. And my experience, particularly in the first decade of this century, may well have been atypical. The stories that we tend to hear of transgender people are often the other kind of stories. Particularly when we talk about transgender women of color, we're talking about people who are on the receiving end of violence, who are likely to be homeless. And all across our community, you hear stories of people who have suffered losses and abuse of one kind or another, and it's intolerable, and it has to stop. So I am hoping to use my powers as a storyteller to bring about that end. It can be a frustrating and discouraging fight sometimes, because there is so much work to do and there's so much hatred out there. But in my own experience, there's also love and understanding as well. And what I would hope is that what was true for me can be true for everybody.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
There's a lot of things that have to take place, and I think it's worth noting that marriage equality, as wonderful and fantastic as it is really not the be-all and end-all for many LGBT people, particularly transgender people. Of course, many trans people are also gay or lesbian, so there is some overlap in our experiences. But, you know, if you've been fired from your job for being trans, if you have lost your marriage and are being forbidden by law from seeing your own children, if you are being murdered and beaten and abused, if those are the realities of your everyday life, you know, wedding cake is really not your first priority. And I rejoice in that victory. I mean, I'm married to a woman, and in the state of Maine, there was a time when the legality of that marriage was questioned, but there's a lot more to do. So in years ahead, transgender rights are going to be at the forefront of the to-do list, and I would like to see LGBT representation in professional sports, and also LGBT representation in Spanish language media, and particularly around the world. Above all, for transgender people, the thing we need is safety, both in our homes and on the streets, and access to health care. And it shouldn't be a matter of luck as to whether or not you can live your life with dignity.
How can people get information about you and the GLAAD Spirit of Justice Award dinner?
Well, lots of ways, but the easiest way is probably through that newfangled World Wide Web they've just invented. GLAAD.org will take you to the GLAAD website, where there's information not only on the organization itself, but also on the Spirit of Justice Award dinner starring Jennifer Finney Boylan. You can get information on me through my website, which is jenniferboylan.net. And if you wanted to read a book, She's Not There is my most widely read and best known book. It was followed up by a book that is less widely read, but my favorite, called I'm Looking Through You. And then my most recent book is Stuck in the Middle with You.
Will you be talking about these books at the Cambridge reading on Saturday, October 17th?
Yeah, I'll mention them. I think I'm also going to read a story in Cambridge called The Catastrophic Restoration, which is in some ways a tribute to my former teacher, Mr. John Barth. It will talk about storytelling structure, and it will also use that structure as a way of understanding the way heroes find the courage to become themselves. And in case you're wondering, there are no greater heroes in my heart than all the transgender men and women that I know.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
I think the quote attributed to Oscar Wilde, which is, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." That means that the struggle to become yourself might be less difficult than you think, because not being yourself is, in fact,